It's Labor Day, and I'm back. Thank you for coming. There's a tradition on Labor Day to talk about, to experience some of the music, experience some of the personal reflection that many of you who have been a part of the labor movement may feel, and also to reflect on where we are today. Today's title or theme is, Where Have All the Women Gone? It's really less about women leaving the workplace than it is about women having to make tough decisions, tough choices. Working women, I mean. What's happening in the workplace, in homes, also workplaces, careers and families, and what can you and I do? The message today is going to be threaded together with some well-known labor music and some music that's especially important to me. It's an era where women have solidified their position as half of the U.S. workforce and two-thirds of the primary or co-breadwinners in American families. And the reality is that a third of all American women are living at or near a space we call the brink of poverty. What is the brink of poverty? Well, it's defined as a level that's 200% or double the poverty line. So the poverty line is about $23,000 a year. The brink of poverty is $47,000 a year for a family of four. 42 million women in America, which is essentially the population of California and Oregon, the entire population of California and Oregon, and 28 million children who depend on them are living one incident, a doctor's bill, a late paycheck, a broken down car, away from economic ruin. And so as we feel the lift in the last couple years, perhaps, of the economy, many of us may feel that. Others of us are still making two-thirds of minimum, or women make up two-thirds of minimum wage workers. They have no sick days. And this is at a time when women earn most of the college degrees and advanced degrees in America. How can that discrepancy exist? They make most of the consumer spending decisions, and they're more than half of the nation's voters. Financial insecurity is a national crisis. And I was stimulated about this year's talk in January when the Shriver Report was issued. The Shriver Report is essentially an organization founded by Maria Shriver, and it takes on projects every year, extensive report and analysis and research. And it essentially talks about the crisis through the eyes of women. This year's report titled, A Woman's Nation Pushes Back from the Brink, inspired my message. Along with more than 100 years of effort to organize and empower workers, which provides the musical backdrop. More than one in three Americans, more than 100 million people live in poverty or on its edge. Half of all Americans will expend at least a few months turning into and out of poverty during their lifetimes. What does that mean? Well, it means that right now in this country, the economic immobility and inequality is a systemic and pervasive problem. And in late 2013, President Obama described it as the defining challenge of our time. Although our president's attention is somewhat in other places today, it's a fact that the top 10% of earners took in more than half of the nation's income in 2012. And that's the highest share since the data has been recorded. What's being done? Some good things, some great steps. In California this year, about the same time as the Shriver report came out, our minimum wage went up from $8 to $9 an hour. I can tell you in my very, very small entrepreneurial business, I haven't paid anyone less than $10 an hour since I started the business in 1993. LA Mayor Garcetti expected to announce a plan for a $13.25 an hour minimum wage by 2017. That's essentially 2.5 years from now, with steps leading to it. And right here in San Diego, if you've been following the news or heard it at all in the last week or two, raising the minimum wage from the state's $9 to $11.50 an hour is a step in the right direction. Under the city council action, the minimum wage will increase in stages to January 1st, where it will be $11.50 an hour. Okay, now, I told my husband this morning that I love math. I really do. I love math. So while we're still sort of at the beginning of the service, I'm going to prevail upon you. I'm going to do a little bit of math, and you can tell me after the service if I got it right. So $11.50 an hour from $9 is a $2.50 an hour increase. Do we agree on that? Yeah. 2.5 years, $2.50. And by the way, the measure at the City of San Diego also includes a provision allowing 5 paid sick days a year. So when the minimum wage increase was first proposed in San Diego, the minimum wage here was $8. So the outcome of that was 44% increase. Whoa, and now it's 27%. Doesn't that sound huge? Because when we hear a 44% increase, we immediately think of our own personal income and say, wow, isn't that a little greedy? 44% increase? Well, it's now down to 27% because we're at $9 an hour. But here's the deal, guys. The region, San Diego County's typical hourly rate, I'm going to say for people in this amphitheater, might be closer to, conservatively, $33 an hour. And I got that figure from MIT. So $2.50 increase over 2 years is about a 4% increase in that typical San Diego County wage, 4%. But we look at it as 44%. In fact, if you look at the media, that's what the San Diego Union headlines are saying, 44% increase. So I ask you today, throughout history, as we've done, the labor movement calls for us to take a stand. Which side are you on? I work, the more I fall behind. believe 54% of low-income women and 48% of single worker mothers. And yesterday, in Sacramento, home health workers were left out of the sick leave bill that was passed. Does anyone get the absolute absurdity of this? The people who earn a living going to care for the elderly and the ill can't take a day off when they're sick without sacrificing food for their kids, maybe a bus pass, maybe their utility bill payment. I agree with the assembly member who said, "I resent the fact that we're picking between two sets of workers. It is an attack on the mostly female segment of the workforce." It's yet another example of a female-dominated industry that has taken a disproportionate hit during a state fiscal crisis and being disrespected. We need to value breadwinning and caregiving equally. Show some respect. There once was a union mate. And if you want to sing along, go right ahead.
Union maid, she never was afraid of goons and ginks and company finks and the deputy sheriffs who made the raid. She went to the union hall when a meeting it was called, and when the legion boys come around, she always stood her ground.
Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union, till the day I die.
This union maid was wise to the tricks of...
We know that low-income women are the backbone of our economy, and especially in San Diego, where we have a hospitality industry sector. We also know the challenges women face are often quite different from those facing the middle and higher-income workers. They're on the brink, they're more likely to be younger, less educated, without a partner, and raising kids. What they need and what our economy needs are supportive, flexible, effective workplaces which benefit both employee and employer and our nation as a whole. You know, reflecting on where we were last year, I don't know if you remember, there was a buzz, and I don't think I really mentioned it in my remarks, but there was a buzz about the lean-in and opt-out for women and the whole discussion of you're going to get what you put into it, or there's a lot of women opting out for making tough choices about shooting careers to the top or staying at home. Maybe this is some thoughts that we can all reflect on and resonate a little bit more. From the college educated, there's a lot of thoughts that were going around like this. First of all, this opting and leaning implies a lot of choice. Choice many modern mothers don't have. Pregnant with my first, I sat in the radiologist's office and I stared wistfully at the wiggly bean on the screen, and then at my husband just staring at his graduate program, just starting his graduate program. I had a lot of questions, nerves, anxiety, but there was no question that I wouldn't work. We had to get him through grad school. Sound familiar to anyone here? Other mothers don't have partners. They work. They probably don't wax philosophically about it. They're consumed with the spinning of plates, of daycare, groceries, rent, pleasing bosses, and squeezing in quality time with their kids. Some mothers could work, but in jobs that would barely cover childcare costs, so they stay home. Maybe they wish it were different. Maybe they don't. But for those of us who have a choice, this is the dilemma, the one that spurred all the buzzword media frenzy. It's real. The problem is that many of us are taught we can have it all. Work full-time, part-time, stay at home, work at home, freelance, become a mompreneur. The choice and the world is yours. It's the quintessentially American middle class meritocratic ethos accelerated by the gains of feminism. We have choice, freedom. We are women. Persevere about every big parenting decision we will make. But the truth is, too many options can simply be disorienting. Racked with insecurity, guilt, paranoia, fear of judgment. Maybe some moms are able to make choice and not look back. But in the words of this reader, I'm guessing most of us either look at our children after a long day at work and wonder what we missed and whether it was worth it. Or we look at our children as they tether us to their play and daydream about the woman we could be with more independence. The first problem is that too many women are stuck in impossibly difficult circumstances, jobs that don't pay enough to cover necessities, an equity pay gap such that women with bachelor's degrees earn what a male with an associate degree makes, male partners and co-parents who are often even less financially stable, and children who need care. But they also need their mom to work to keep a roof over their heads. Quality child care is nearly impossible to find at hours that cover low-wage workers' unpredictable schedules, and it's prohibitively expensive without some kind of subsidy. Oh yeah, and there's that thing, no sick leave. Most low-wage workers don't have access to a single paid sick day. Someone gets sick, there goes the groceries, or the rent, or the electric bill. In my closing thoughts and reflecting on the startling statistics and the thought about the entire population of California, the equivalent of the entire population of California and Oregon living close to the poverty line and the brink of poverty, I think about the Ginger Rogers skill as a dancer line. Do you remember that one? She had to do everything Fred Astaire did, only backwards in heels. In this country, we expect low-wage women workers to dance backwards, in heels, underwater, while juggling. LeBron James credits his mom for doing it. And moms and dads across the country are somehow managing to make it work. To school, to the grocery, to tuck their kids in, and maybe back to work again. They're cobbling together networks of care. They're resilient, competent, driven, and productive. They're the kinds of employees that a smart employer invests in. And how can we make that investment? The Thrive Index is part of the Shriver Report, and it has a wonderful bunch, a wonderful list of things employers can do or question themselves. Are workers who remain on the job eligible for pay increases? Are part-time workers guaranteed a minimum hours? Are wages adjusted when responsibilities increase? Are workers paid for their entire scheduled shift even when business is slow and they have to leave early? Are hourly wages for jobs with non-standard hours, night shifts, weekends, when child care may become even more important because kids aren't in school? Are there opportunities for training? What about personal and family needs? Can workers schedule breaks to allow for phone calls? Are occasional calls for urgent matters allowed? Can personal time be taken in small increments of an hour or two for doctor's appointments? Does your firm offer paid or maternity or paternity leave for workers? That's just a few. So I offer us this chance today to think about workers. And the closing song is called Something in the Rain, which we haven't had much of. But it speaks to the farm workers, and since we're all hearing about the agricultural crisis in our Central Valley where there is no water and the wells are being drilled, I think it's especially relevant today.